It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Cruising along on St. Patrick's Day. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Enjoying some March Madness action here in the studio, diving into a number of different topics. Did we mention March Madness? I think we did. And we're going to speak to a gentleman here momentarily who's on the call for one of those games tonight. We'll bring him up right now. Ty Linder, radio voice of the Kent State Golden Flashes. Kent State's been on a bit of a magical run over the course of the last 6 weeks or so. Tonight, they take on UCLA right around 10 o'clock. Ty is joining us all the way out in Sacramento, California. Ty, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you today?
So far, so good. I mean, it's probably a heck of a lot nicer out in Sacramento than it is over here in Elyria, where it's snowing and it's about 32 degrees and they're calling for some freezing rain later on. So my guess is you have a little bit better as far as the weather is concerned. Kent State has had it pretty darn good over the course of the last 5 or 6 weeks. Boy, what a finish to the season, Ty. 9-1 at the end of the year, and it really kind of seems like things really began to change on February 14th on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a good spot. You know, when you look back at the season, even going back to October when training camp started and the preseason, there were so many new faces on this squad that you really didn't know what to expect. Now, you knew you had Jimmy Hall, and you could almost pretty much bank on a double-double from him every night, but there were so many other new faces that were going to get significant minutes that you just didn't know how the first, you know, couple of months were going to go. And the Golden Flashes, I think, as expected, were very hot and cold. They were up and down. They went out to Oregon State and did not play well in a matchup with the Beavers. And then a couple of days later, they went down to Texas and got a win in a defensive struggle. So those two games kind of symbolically represent the first half of the season. And then, as you mentioned, once they got through a tough stretch in Mid-American Conference play, I think they started 1-4 at one point. And, you know, that's almost a death sentence when it comes to the MAC. If you start off with that record, you can almost guarantee that you're not going to climb out of that hole to get a first-round bye. And we know that those first-round byes are important. But, you know, as you mentioned, when they got a win against Miami, ended up sweeping the season series from them, and then went off on a roll. And I think what really made me start to think that this club was gelling and was capable of winning a championship or at least contending for one was when they went back-to-back and got road wins at Akron on a Friday night, and then they went to Buffalo the next Tuesday night and got a win. Two very tough places to play. And when they won those two games on the road, it looked like they'd turned the corner and were starting to make a run.
Those are two monster road wins. For those who maybe didn't follow the MAC this year, those are two of the top three seeds. Akron, of course, was the top seed in the tournament. They had a terrific run in the regular season. So to win games back-to-back like that on the road, a lot of times it doesn't matter who you play in the MAC. Winning road games is a very difficult thing to do in that conference. I want to go back to Valentine's Day for just a second, because at least down in the area of Kent and Akron, much has been made about the speech that walk-on senior John Fleming gave at halftime in that game where they came from behind to beat Miami. And it really kind of seems like that was all part of what kickstarted that magical 9-1 run towards the end of the season. What can you tell us about what you know about that halftime speech that seemed to inspire the Flashes?
Well, even before that, on January 21st, the Golden Flashes played Toledo somewhat early in the conference schedule, and really hammered them at home. They had a sellout crowd. It was our first non-Akron game sellout in a long time. They really played well on all fronts in that game. And then a couple of weeks later, they went to Toledo, and the exact opposite thing happened. They played perhaps their worst game of the year that day. So I think, you know, when you look back, that was a real crossroads for this team on that game against Toledo. You know, on the bus, it was one of the quieter rides home that I've ever been a part of. And then, yeah, you're right. You know, they went down to Miami and they grinded out a win down there. And then you're talking about the speech by John Fleming. And basically the gist of it is he challenged the players to find something, find someone to play for. And he obviously went into great detail about, listen, you know, I can't be out there as much as you guys are, so I don't have as much of an effect on it. And he challenged them, but he did it out of love and respect and motivation. And he said, just find somebody to play for. He said, play for me. Play for me. I'm a guy that you know, I practice just as hard as you guys do. I don't play nearly as much as you guys do. And at some point, you all have to find somebody to play for, something to play for. Why not play for me? And whether or not, you know, they took that to heart or not, I think the results surely show. And then when you see the way they celebrate with him after those games in the MAC tournament, starting on Monday night against Central Michigan all the way until Saturday night, I think it pretty much shows that he's about as well-respected a guy on the team as anybody.
We're talking with Ty Linder, radio voice of the Kent State Golden Flashes. Kent State, of course, in action in the March Madness tournament tonight. They take on UCLA right around 10 o'clock. And if we could stick with that for just a second, focusing on tonight's game. Starting at 10 o'clock, boy, very unusual for the Golden Flashes. I'm not sure if you guys have started that late at all this season. UCLA, though, they're at least a little more acclimated to playing that late at night. Do you think that puts Kent at a little bit of a disadvantage, having to play at a time where they don't normally play?
I wouldn't think so. We came out here early enough that they've kind of adjusted their internal clocks a bit. And as I mentioned, we played Oregon State back in the non-conference, and that was a 9 o'clock game local. So we started at midnight Kent State time against Oregon State. That was a really, really late night. And I personally think that affected them in that game. Tonight they're playing at 7 o'clock local. Obviously, as you mentioned, 10 o'clock back home. I just wonder if it's more about, you know, the atmosphere. I just watched Oregon and Iona play in another 3-14 game. And it's even as a media guy covering this thing, I covered one back in 06, but this is my first trip back here since that time. And it's just big. Like, you know, that it's not just an ordinary game or something like that. I mean, there are cameras everywhere. There are lights everywhere. Fans. It's a brand new arena that was just built this year. It has that big time feeling. And for these Kent State players, thing you have to remember is only one of them had ever played a game in Cleveland at the MAC tournament prior to last week. So they bucked that trend and were able to win games in that building after having never played there. But this is a different animal now tonight, no pun intended, with Kent State coming in, playing in this kind of environment, this kind of spectacle, and then taking on a really, really good Bruins team that's got a first-round lottery pick perhaps on its roster, and all of the hullabaloo with the media that follows them. They're in sort of their backyard, so I think probably the time is the least of Kent State's concerns at this point. I would just hope that they don't let that, the surrounding noise, if you will, affect them too much.
Again, we're talking with Ty Linder, radio voice of the Kent State Golden Flashes. Boy, it's interesting you mentioned that, Ty. And I say that because I think the MAC does a wonderful job of creating a very exciting atmosphere down at the Quicken Loans Arena for that tournament. But as big as they make that, and as great as that is, I just don't know how you can in any way, shape, or form simulate what you experience when you go to the NCAA tournament. Some would call it a circus. Some would say it's just a special event. Wherever you lie in that conversation, it really is something else. And I think when you get there, having not been there for Kent State, especially since 2008, it's just a different experience. You mentioned that you experienced it back in 2006. You're experiencing it now. I mean, you guys arrived in Sacramento yesterday, correct?
We got there on Wednesday, actually.
Wednesday, okay. So, I mean, even then, you've been a part of this thing for almost 3 full days now. It really is something else.
Well, we knew it was going to be big. You know, each team stays at a different hotel, and it's by seed. So we actually are staying about 20 minutes away from downtown. But the really cool thing is, because you're staying there all by yourself, there's no other team, they really decked it out. So the folks at the Marriott, all of the employees were standing outside as the buses first pulled in from the airport, and that we had shipped them ahead of time some of our gold Kent State t-shirts. So all of the employees were wearing Kent State things. They've got the Kent State logo everywhere and blue and gold balloons. And it's really like the Kent State headquarters. And for a week anyway, all of the employees are Kent State fans. And it's really been a first-class event from, you know, the flight to the hotel to the game site. That's one of the things. I know a lot of Kent State people were a little perturbed that they didn't get a closer venue like Indianapolis or even Buffalo. But the one thing when we got assigned this is you knew it's a brand new arena, and I know that it's definitely capable of hosting an event like this. But they definitely make you feel welcome, and you're rewarded for basically being one of 68 teams to participate in it. And I just. You hope to stay as long as possible and keep extending those rooms.
Without question. Yeah, I mean, hey, the NCAA does that extraordinarily well. When you make that tournament, they certainly make you feel like a king. There's no question about that. Diving into the game tonight, again, 10 o'clock, thereabouts, kind of depends on what happens with the game prior to yours out in Sacramento. I know you've done a lot of research on UCLA. There's so many things that make the Bruins dangerous. Who really needs to specifically step up in your mind if Kent State is going to pull the wool over the eyes of the Bruins?
Well, first of all, you know, the Golden Flashes have to continue to get what they have gotten from certain guys all year long, and then probably more so. Like, all year long, we've been able to pretty much count on Jimmy Hall to come through with a double-double, a perhaps 22-12 type of ball game. Now I almost think that you need 25-15 from him tonight, and that's no easy task. This will be the best team Kent State has played all year long without question, from offense to defense. It's going to be the best squad they've played against all year long. Jalen Walker dropped 30 points in the MAC tournament championship game to earn MVP honors. I don't know that you'd love to have 30 again, but I think you're going to need 20 from him. And then I think you got to get 12 to 16 points from guys like Mitch Peterson, a Northeast Ohio guy. I think you're going to need something from your two-point guards, Jalen Avery from Kentucky, and Kevin Szabo, who was a first-year transfer player from out in San Diego. I think you need those two guys to really play well. And that's been a real key to the turnaround for Kent State in the conference, if we could go back to an earlier question. Those two guys, the two-point guards, Avery and Szabo, once they started to get more comfortable platooning as the point guard, they cut their turnovers down, and that helped Kent State tremendously at both ends of the floor. So not only do you need to continue to get production from your seniors and your high scores, but then I think you got to get double-digit scoring from guys that might not normally do it, because this is a team in UCLA that routinely is in the 90s. And I don't know that you can count on the defense that won you the Mid-American Conference Championship to hold a UCLA club like that in the 60s or 70s. Are you prepared to win this game to score in the 80s and possibly the 90s? And I think the Golden Flashes think they are capable of that because they did it all last week. But we'll see. We'll see. Listen, the 3 versus 14 has produced some upsets down through the years. 15% of the time a 14 seed comes out on top. And it hasn't happened yet this year, so the Golden Flashes are going to come out. And I think it's critical for them to survive that first segment of the ball game. So, for instance, they stop the game the first time the ball is dead under 16 minutes. If you're going into that huddle and let's say 15 minutes or 45 seconds left and it's about 12-10, maybe 10-8, something in there, I think that first shift is important. Now, if you go into that if you're going into that huddle at that point with 15 minutes to go and it's, you know, 12-2 or 10-3, that's tough to climb out of in these tournament games, because we all know about the upsets. So the favored teams, the teams that don't want to fall victim to the upset, if they've got you down, they're going to do everything in their power to squash any hope you have of coming back. So I think the first 5 minutes is critical.
Well, we certainly look forward to the call later on tonight, Ty. Ty Linder will be on the call tonight in the Kent State Golden Flashes radio network. They are scheduled to tip against UCLA right around 10. Ty, we know you're a very busy man, so we really appreciate the time. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, and we look forward to the call later on tonight.
Thanks, guys, and thanks for the support from everybody back home.
All righty, that's Ty Linder, voice of the Kent State Golden Flashes. Kent, of course, taking on UCLA at 10 o'clock tonight. Time for a break. The local news on the other end of it when we come back on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.